Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is December 1st. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, realizing that this is a recording on the 1st just made me infinitely better.
We're doing this in advance. We planned to do this Monday night. We broke it off because we talked too much about, Bryson putting oil on his abs and Tiger reemerging in the public eye. So this is a year in review, December 1st, Wednesday, December 1st, part three of the year in review. We are picking up after Riviera, Tiger's accident. Then we're on to Concession, Puerto Rico Open, the Players Championship. This may be broken off into a Friday episode as well. We will get up to the Masters this week. I don't know if it'll be Wednesday and Friday.
We got a good month ahead of us, I'll tell you what.
I swear to God, the first quarter always takes the longest for this in terms of research, in terms of talking about it. It's just chock full. Like, there's so much happening. I think it slows down in the summer because people just lose interest in the things that aren't majors. And there's just not as much amusement and happenings. But
I don't know. This might end up being like 12 parts. Who knows?
We might run into 2022 at this point. But it is brought to you by Precision Pro Golf. They are the official range finder. DMD, is that the fancy term for it? I don't know why people use distance measuring device. I don't know what the difference
whenever
is.
Whenever I
between
hear DMD, I think of the wire.
Well, yeah.
WMDs.
Yeah. 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 Our Condoleezza Rice, Manning cast guest. DMD, they are the official DMD sponsor of the Shotgun Start. They have Black Friday, Cyber Monday. I don't know if you're listening to this on Wednesday, if their Cyber Monday has become Wednesday. These deals just
Cyber
run
Week
forever and ever. It's $55 off at one point. But, whether it is or it isn't, it's the best rangefinder out there for the right value. I've never had an issue with it. It's just old reliable. The NX9 Slope is what I have. They supported us all year. They just sent me an Ace speaker, so I got to break that out.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll get to it.
I just got that too.
It's like
I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it connects to the app and all those things, so I'm pumped about that. But I would go with the basics. If you need a rangefinder, start with their NX9 Slope. Then you can, broaden your commitment with their other suite of products for sure. Lifetime battery replacement, expert customer service. I don't know. I honestly can vouch for the people behind the company. They've been really good to work with, really friendly, really nice. They want to do more. I know they've worked with No Laying Up. Those guys love them. I'd say if you need a rangefinder, this is a really good company to support. They're not, some massive subsidiary of some massive, large, equipment sporting goods company. Precision Pro, thanks to them for sponsoring the year in review, as well as Flashback Friday all year, and probably some more stuff coming in 2022. PrecisionProGolf.com, Shotgun20 is our sponsor code if you need it. All right, let's move on. Part three. I think you're up. I think we left off with Max Homa winning Riviera last Friday. If you didn't get those, we posted them on Wednesday and Black Friday, part one and two, getting through Riviera again. Like I said, we alternate events. We look for the more inane, irreverent, amusing. We'll do some play-by-play, as in this is who won if you forgot, and maybe this is how they won.
We'll tell you who won every event.
Yeah, probably. There are a few I just completely forgot about.
I wanted to skip the Honda. I almost did. I almost didn't find anything interesting.
I'll be impressed if you came up with much for that. I'll be very impressed with whatever you dug out, because we didn't have anything to talk about that week of watching it. So, all right, what do you got for, where do we go next after LA,
all right,
Riviera?
Well, Riviera, the natural segue is probably the most depressing news of the year in the golf world, which was the Tiger Woods accident. So, you know, I don't want to dwell on this for too long. I'm just going to give you guys the cold hard facts. We obviously got some really good news
cold
this week.
Cold hard facts. Yeah.
Use Golf Facts will be proud of this segment. All right. So at 7:12 a.m. Pacific time on that, what was it, Monday after? This is cold hard facts.
It ended up being Tuesday. Tuesday. I thought it was Monday, but the crash came Tuesday, you know, early Pacific, and then, you know, we didn't find out about it till like Eastern Central, probably around lunch or so.
We found out about it kind of early.
I know.
This was a crazy part of the whole thing. We'll get into that after we get through this.
Okay. All right.
All right. So single vehicle, this was from the LA County Police Office Department. Single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Rancho Palos Verdes. Tiger Woods was extracted from the wreck with jaws of life. That was the big term. That's one thing that I will never forget about the whole situation was the term jaws of life and that the connotation that that brings by LA County firefighters and paramedics and then transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injuries. Later on, once, you know, obviously that led to a lot of speculation. This day was filled with speculation about whether he was going to survive, whether or not he was going to have legs, whether, you know, what his kind of state of being was going into it. That was a big thing because of, you know, the way he looked at the Genesis.
Yeah, that, you know, that was the end of our last episode, that appearance on CBS. So that became a meme almost, right? I mean, he did not look super, I don't know. He just didn't look healthy. He didn't look great. So, there was like a ton of speculation. Really, really dire speculation. Like, is he going to live? I mean, not, is he going to live? Or is he going to have, you know, legs amputated? A lot of dire situation. And that was before we even saw the car and everything like that. The word you got was it was not good.
Yeah. So, you know, this morning, that morning I was in Florida. I had escaped winter, real winter.
Florida, man.
And I remember I got a message from somebody that had, you know, a source in the, it was the paramedics or fire department.
Yeah, they sent a message to us. I think it was me and you.
Yeah.
It was really random. You know, we get messages and it was nothing you could report off the bat.
And it was wild because, you know, for maybe an hour or two before this story broke,
we were
kind of sitting on this and not really know. You know, you don't know what to do. There's two instances of this that I had in a narrow time frame. Was one of them was the Trump thing with Southern Hills and all of that.
Yeah.
And you couldn't be wrong because it was Trump. And you don't report it,
right?
Effectively, you sit on it, and this was a similar situation because it was like you can't be wrong,
right? And no one knows. I mean, we tried to, no one's going to talk, right? Normal sources aren't going to, and the normal source didn't. No one knew about this, and like I don't know, it was just like we were trying to track like 911 calls, right, and stuff like that. It was just like trying to corroborate something. Like, was there an accident?
Police department to confirm.
Just waiting for TMZ to basically post about it, you know, because you can't. That was, I remember that. You and I were just like, we were recording the Tuesday episode. We were like set to record midday Tuesday, and it like, we just spent the next couple hours kind of looking at it, talking on the phone, like,
if he was alive at that point.
Yeah, Tiger was alive. Yeah. Yeah.
So, what ended up happening, commutated open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula bones were stabilized by inserting a rod into his tibia, said Mahajan, the chief medical officer and interim CEO at Harbor UCLA, the doctor. Additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. Trauma to the muscle and the soft tissue of the leg requiring surgical release of the covering of the muscles to relieve pressure due to swelling. So compound fractures, which is like bone broken out of the leg.
Yeah.
you know, muscles being cut to, you know, just a very, very rough injury. And obviously the photos of the car were a big part of this whole thing. And there were reactions all over the board from all kinds of people.
Obama tweeted.
Obama tweeted, right? Sending my prayers to at Tiger Woods and his family tonight. Here's a speedy recovery for the GOAT of golf. If you've learned anything over the years, it's to never count Tiger out. You know, Monahan was asked about it at the WGC Workday at the concession. Let's just take a moment to remember the word salad. The length.
World Golf Championship Workday Championship at the concession. The concession allegedly paid a hefty fee.
Yes,
we'll go into
that. I have that in here.
All right, we'll get into concession.
Monahan, when Tiger wants to talk about golf, we'll talk about golf. But I think right now our entirety of our efforts needs to be around the support. When you're going to overcome what he needs to overcome, I think the love of all of our players and everybody out here is going to come forward in a big way and across the entire sporting world. I think he'll feel that energy, and I think that's what we should all focus on. We'll all be talking about the PGA Tour without Woods at some point down the road, but right now that's not what we should be talking about. So,
I mean, yeah, just the whole thing I'll remember is like, there was that real big, there was that real period of like where you didn't know if he was going to make it.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll kind of remember where you were and what it was like and the feelings you had, that kind of deal.
It was eerily similar to the Kobe thing. That was, you know, the Kobe,
sure.
Kobe, not the Kobe thing. When Kobe died, it just had like that, a similar feel to it at the beginning. Obviously, it changed,
right.
But it was
right.
Like, it kind of was this like, crazy thing.
One
other
this relief
thing,
was when the chief said it's like stable but non-life threatening. It was like the first time where you finally got some sort of confirmation that he was alive. So
one other thing that I'll never forget, which was a horrible, horrible look for the PGA Tour communication staff.
JT
was informed during a press conference.
I mean, I can laugh about this now. I can. I mean, this is unbelievable.
It brought him to tears, and then the press conference kept going.
Tell me about the greens.
Yes.
A concession or something.
It was just unbelievable. Like, in here, like on Tuesday, we learned when Tiger talked just how close him and JT are, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he considers him family. And here's this guy up there finding out about the crash during his press conference.
Well, I think he goes on the stage or the dais or whatever, the microphone. They're like, here's Tiger's in a really bad crash. He might not be, you know, we don't know if he'll make it. Here's what it looks like. And they ask him about it and he's in tears. And then they go back and then they whip around to like, what do you think of the setup this week? What about the grass? You know, like, oh, this crazy. That was, I remember that at the time. It was unbelievable.
This kind of spurred, there were some times like, should this event even happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I think once we realized it was stable.
Okay. Then that stopped.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, there was a short period of like, you know, and if it had gone, if it had been the worst case scenario and he had passed away, I imagine the event would have been canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. Hypothetical. We don't have to.
Yeah. Okay. But that's enough on the Tiger news. We got a lot of update this week. And,
sure.
And that's good. But this was a
great interview. You know, he's back in public in some form or fashion in public.
Yeah. And public this was form. This dominated the week. And we'll get there'll be more about this during the week. Some inane stuff at the end of the tournament that we'll get into.
Scripting
here.
Gate?
So, Colin Morikawa wins this event. Lost in all this. Like, I kind of almost forgot about this.
Yeah.
He won by three. And it, when you think about it, concession, this new venue, extraordinarily demanding tee to green. It makes sense. Colin Morikawa won.
Sure.
He won by three over Hovland. And then the Hovland, Billy Boy, and Brooksy, I think.
Billy Boy. Billy Boy. Yeah, he had a big Q1. I mean, I just, like, I'm speaking anecdotally here because I don't do the research. I just feel like, Wasn't it windy and like these guys were getting pissed? I know you were hollering about catch basins.
It wasn't even that windy. The golf course is maybe the ideal professional golf course.
It's absolutely
miserable for a regular golfer to play.
Right.
Like these guys were having fits around the greens. Wade Ormsby, and No Laying Up tweeted about this. Wade Ormsby was 35 feet away and four on a par five, the 13th, and he walked off with a 9.
It's the chip ups that, from the tight lies, right? Yeah. This was the big thing all week. The chips on tight lies.
Severe greens, heavily sloped greens, and severe surrounds, like and short grass everywhere. So the ball just rolls away.
We should see another event there, maybe. No?
Well,
another
tour event? They're eager beavers about hosting. They paid $3 million to host it there. Two or three.
And have it be called the concession.
Yeah, it was two or three. I can't remember. I didn't want to ruffle back into finding
I think it's three. I thought it was three.
I couldn't remember.
Shit, that's a week's worth of maintenance of the range, isn't it? Never mind. All right, go ahead.
This golf course paid $3 million to close down for a week.
All right. But it was good. It was a good PGA Tour watch. No, if I'm not mistaken. That's the one thing I recall of this. You know, we give the tour a bunch of shit, and I don't want to go into like analysis. This is your interview. But I feel like Q1 wasn't bad from a setup perspective. And we're speaking on this crayon scale here. It's the PGA Tour, right? But like the mishmash of tees at Pebble, Riviera was firm and
fiery.
Fast. This was, you know, Bay Hill was hard. Bay Hill's always can be hard.
The first couple rounds of the Players was firm and fast.
Yes.
The 17th green was too firm.
I think the tour did, you know, we give setup, we're grading on a scale, but I think last year, first, you know, 3-4 months, they really didn't do a bad job. So go ahead. Sorry. Digression.
So anyways, Hovland made 8 birdies, but he bogeyed 14 and 16. Scheffler made, I think, 8 birdies too, but there was like car crashes in between. Morikawa made an 8 and won, you know, the tournament.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So he joined Woods, which is, you know, obviously everybody's always fishing around for Tiger stats every week. But just this week it was, you know, kind of, but he became Woods as the only player to win a major golf championship and a world golf championship before the age of 25.
Okay. The WGCs weren't a thing, right? When Tiger first turned pro.
Yeah, I mean, but he still won one by 25, you know?
Yeah,
Before the event, this is what Morikawa said. Tiger means everything to me. I don't think we say thank you enough, so I want to say thank you to Tiger because sometimes you lose people too early.
Yeah.
He also said that he got lazy after winning the PGA Championship and complacent. And he had rededicated himself. Like, he was really upset about his miscut at the U.S. Open. And then Kyle Porter had a really interesting tweet. First 41 PGA Tour events, Colin Morikawa, 4 wins. JT, Rory Spieth, 4 combined wins. And obviously, all this is very, you know, revealing in a lens when you think about what he did the rest of the year.
Sure. Wasn't this the big O'Meara thing with the grip?
And yes.
Like,
so Azinger
tripping over himself. Azinger to talk about his friend Mark O'Meara. Go ahead.
The week before, he ranked last in the field at Genesis in putting. He switched grips to the saw, which allegedly 2 weeks beforehand, Mark O'Meara taught him, and he was 10th in putting at concession.
Okay. I just remember Azinger would not. Like, he was just like catnip for him. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but yeah, that was a big deal. The O'Meara narrative became a big thing, and he talked about it. Morikawa gave him credit, you know.
Yeah. So. About the concession and setup, Billy Boy had some quotes. The town crier came
of course
out,
he did.
Ringing the bell.
This is about the time Cryer really started. That nickname really took. It was about time.
So Billy Boy on concession. Too many times, and it's not the tour's fault. I don't know why I absolved the tour here. It's not the tour's fault, but the courses we play, where you don't have to worry about your misses. Here at the concession, if you miss in the wrong spot, you've got a tough two-putt or you've got a really tough up and down. How is this not, again, how is this not the tourist's fault? Who picks the courses?
That little clause that he threw in there was amazing. Like, whose fault is it? Like, who is it? Is it sponsors? Is it somebody else? Like, what's he suggesting?
Whose fault could possibly be other than
Billy
tourists?
Boy.
But well, you know, it was a great, I mean, it was a true quote. Like, this was a golf course that, like, really penalized misses.
Yeah.
And, you know, you saw it. You know, it's a WGC. You're going to get great players at the top of the leaderboard. But, like, it was really, like, either premier ball strikers or, like, thought. I think Billy's actually a pretty thoughtful player when it comes to, like, he gets a, he's got himself to a level of golf that maybe a man with his, like, physical talent shouldn't be at, right? And I think he does that with, like, the way he approaches the game pretty, you know, he approaches the game well. He's got
your interview in which we reconsider the baton boy.
Well, he's a fucking moron. That probably helps him, you know, but I, you know,
no, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're saying. The guy's made
you
well,
can say that he might well. Be a smart golfer. You could be, he's an
maybe,
idiot.
Yeah.
He doesn't know he's an idiot.
All right. Okay.
But he's also brilliant at golf.
Sure.
Patrick
we'll get into
Reed,
something with Bay Hill about
Patrick
that.
Reed was an early leader, and there was a lot of talk about how great it would be if Patrick Reed won at a golf course that was named after an act of sportsmanship.
Like Sergio and DJ winning the Jacqueline, whatever, Nicholas Aon reward. That's good. I remember Reed nice topped one.
Yeah,
and
he
made
topped,
like an eagle or
he topped
a birdie.
One and made
top.
A birdie.
Yeah,
so that was the next, on Friday, he topped a shot, right, topped a three wood. Made birdie. Will Knight said that the course, if he wins, the course should be renamed the Confession.
Pretty good. Will he writes that newsletter three times a week, comes up with those titles. All right. That's good. Subscribe to the Fried Egg newsletter for more.
Let's get into the red shirt gate.
Red shirt gate. I just remember there was like, were there people that were actually angry, or did we just make up these straw men that were actually like
there
mad
were.
That people weren't dressing like Tiger?
Do you want to know who was angry? So red shirts, it was like, you know, the players got together and said, like, let's wear red shirts
black
on Sunday,
pants,
black
red
pants
yeah.
to honor Tiger. People were scribbling stuff on their hats. You know, Phil, some players went out and bought shirts. Phil went out and bought a red shirt, but he wore
That's
a sweater.
That's a Colaguard.
Yeah,
he was at the Cola Guard.
Yeah,
he wasn't even at concession, but he did it at Cola Guard. I found that. I found that in my research. Listen to Kevin Sutherland, his first loss on the PGA, dumping a box classic. He's wearing red. Okay.
So he's wearing red, but he bought the shirt. He went out and bought, he didn't own any red shirts. He bought the shirt, but he had his black sweatshirt with all the sweater. with all the logos on
KPMG
it. Over it.
And yeah.
So Max Homa got a lot of flack.
Yes,
he got
that's
it publicly
right.
on Twitter. So he had a couple tweets. So he tweeted, I mean, this was zero hyperbole. This is the weirdest thing I've experienced on Twitter. Laugh out loud. I love you. Love Tiger more than you guys. Promise. Listen to an interview from last week. Red and black tomorrow doesn't prove that. A lifelong attempt to mimic his approach to golf, to the game of golf does. He also tweeted, I unfortunately didn't pack any red and black for this road trip. Obviously didn't know the news till arriving, so I'll try and pay my respects to Tiger tomorrow with some really great final round of hashtag golf. Hope to see a lot of red and black out there. He's trying to get out ahead of this.
Yes.
This. Now, everybody's in his messages like, just go to Dick's and buy a shirt. Like, go get a shirt. You know, everybody's like, that's not a good enough excuse. He tweeted, I'm contractually obligated to wear clothes with certain logos on them. I can't buy at Dick's, Pro Shop, Roger Dunn, Walmart, a store, etc. Thank you for all the options, though.
Nevada Bob's, we found out recently, still in existence somewhere. Can't go there. All right.
So people are getting all pissed off. One player that they're mad about not wearing red and black is winner Colin Morikawa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he, I guess he, yeah, he planned, he had planned to wear a red shirt on Sunday when this like plan came about.
This is the dumbest shit ever. God, but so that's good.
The shipment from Adidas got stuck in Memphis because of weather issues. A certain courier's warehouse.
So bad luck for the tour, the sugar daddy.
Which courier could this be in Memphis? I think we know because there's the WGC swap ass there.
FedEx Cup playoffs, I think, start so, there now. Yeah.
So his team went to like long, long lengths to try and remedy this. His caddy even went to the distribution center to check if it had arrived.
Oh my God.
When it became like, clear that the shirts wouldn't get here before his tee time, Morikawa instead settled on for black pants. And this is what Morikawa said. My agent said that even though the shirt wasn't there, go out and play like Tiger would with the lead. Shout out Andrew Kipper for that great advice.
There you
Morikawa
go.
Said, I think I did.
All right. I forgot about the shipment getting delayed. Tough scene for the, what do they do? The standings. It's like, well, this is your FedEx Cup standings update. Can't get out of Memphis.
I love Collins that they mentioned Memphis. Because, that Memphis got thrown in there because it could have been any courier.
That's true. Oh, that's
all
good.
Right. Some more stuff from this week. The tour. Right. This was something that really bummed you out.
Oh, God.
The tour ended the order of play and playoff being done through a draw.
Instead, really
it was first in, first out. You tweeted something about, you know, the cars, the BMW, yeah, and the Shriners.
This is the Imperial Potentate or whatever. The guy at the Shriners in his cap. And his, you know, whatever that thing is. The thimble on his head. Yeah, I just they're fixing needless problems that don't exist. The CT machine can't find its way out of storage, and they're just coming up with things. All right,
I'm surprised they didn't use it as an opportunity to upsell all the sponsors.
Right, that's true.
If your tournament ends in a playoff, you can activation. Do this activation, yeah, and it costs you $2.5 million more a year.
Triggers the clause. Oh God!
Another thing that everybody was up in arms about: Matthew Wolf was having a really bad first round.
This was the start of where he like WDs, and yeah, stuff, right? Okay,
so he withdrew and he made 40K. This is an annual, annual, tradition of WGCs. We were upset because it ruined the spread, the potential spread.
We get
I think
to,
he was like,
you know,
13 over after 9 or something. I didn't look this up. That's just off recollection. I didn't look
the
up.
The Bowditch zone is what we call it. It's a Doral when it was like 58 strokes or something. Yeah, that's right.
John Rahm had some really interesting remarks about Greens books. And this is particularly interesting given what happened later in the year with Greens books and some of the, I think some of the better players, I think this was directive of some of the better players, probably Rahm, Rory, that really pushed on this Greens book thing. They were talking about how DJ talked about how easy it was to go to new courses. This was another big part of the week.
This is one of your all time takes. I think you just pulled this off the cuff, right?
I mean, yeah.
They're like, how many people go?
This was the lead up of the week. Was like, this is so tough on the players. New course. They get 3 practice rounds.
This is one of your all time rants.
This is a new course. Come
Thursday. How many people in America show up to a course for the first time and don't know it?
That's every day. Every day. Hundreds of thousands of golfers, I would say, maybe. Hundreds of thousands? Tens of thousands?
I don't know, yeah. How many rounds?
At least tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of golfers?
Probably tens. Tens. Let's
minimum
go with tens.
Tens of thousands of golfers play a new course without seeing it. without a yardage book.
You were apoplectic.
And they're the making a big deal about these guys going to play a no-cut event at a course in Florida and like getting three practice rounds before the event.
With caddies, with every piece of information at their disposal.
Greens books. Know? And this Greens was the books. Question.
All right.
So DJ said it's not really that big of a deal. I mean, I got to play the practice rounds. We've got these books that tell us every contour of a green.
Yeah.
So Rob gets asked about them. And Rob goes, well, I don't use those green books. Just that's the answer.
Oh, I don't think did I not remember this? Okay.
And the next question is, how come? He goes, my caddy gets them. I don't look at them because I'm just a field player. I trust what I see. If I have a question, I'll ask him. He might look at it if we're in doubt. I've never spoken of this. I have to be honest. I don't think they should be allowed. That's my opinion.
God.
I think that being able to read a green and read a break and understand the green is a talent. It's a skill that can be developed. And by just giving you the information, they're taking away from the game. Again, I think being able to read greens and understand greens, it's a talent, it's part of the game. And like I said, it's a skill that can be developed or not. So that's my take on it.
I love it. So good. That's Rob, just an amazing quote. That's great. I didn't know if he never looks at it. I don't think I knew that. Or I forgot about that.
So anyways, another reason to root for John Rahm.
Yep, fantastic.
Annika, right. Annika played her first LPGA event since 2008. Gainbridge, off the celebrity tour.
No longer a celebrity. Now she's an official pro.
Not collecting medals from Trump the day after the Capitol. Playing the LPGA, first time since 2008. She amazingly made the cut. Opened it with a 75 and finished 74th. So she
did make the cut. Yeah.
She shot 71 on Friday to make the cut, and then she had a bad weekend. But it was just crazy. First
Nuts.
Time in 13 years Ugh. Playing on the LPGA makes the cut. Nelly
this was Gate, right? Where Gate for Annika, her ball was on the other side of a gate.
Yes,
and like they couldn't open it. I don't remember. They misapplied the rule. They got it wrong, and she got like she could have played it or something like that. I just called it Gate. Something like that. They screwed up. They gave her a bad ruling. Go ahead.
I didn't have that.
No. Now I remember that distinctly because I tweeted something about if anyone could forget what happened the day before and move on, it's Annika or some. That was one some tweet I had of it because she, whatever, she got jobbed on the ruling. But go ahead.
Nelly Korda wins her first tournament of the year. She beat Jin Young Ko, Lexi, and Lydia Ko. It was a kind of sign of things to come.
Sure.
And the Kordas were the first pair of sisters to win back-to-back events on the LPGA Tour since Annika and Charlotta Sorenstam did it in 2000.
Right.
Which, it's crazy that that's happened twice.
More than once.
The PGA. That's insane just in general.
Sure. Yep.
And that's it for the week.
All right. Fantastic. I did this week as well, just for the PR Open, which I found minimal things on. So, but while
it's always light on the opposite field, other than just the dismay of the field.
Yes. While we're on the subject, while I was on this week, one thing I did see about Thick Boy, and we can do Thick Boy quotes all day. This was the start. What did we hear about it at Royal St. George's? My driver sucks. He goes, the physics aren't understood at that speed yet, was his quote. So he's basically, like, this is a precursor to him calling out his driver. He goes, there's weird stuff going on at high speeds. There's just technology that we don't know about yet that's hindering it, unfortunately, across the board. Nobody knows how to play a 200-mile-an-hour ball speed and barely mishit it. Sometimes it doesn't react the way you think it should. Just like the technology has got to be perfect for me to swing this at like, you know, obscene 210 and barely miss hit. Still, it shouldn't be penalized for it.
It's like, unbelievable. You know, hitting it on the center and hitting it well isn't important. It's more about how fast you can swing.
The physics aren't understood at that swing speed yet. All right, Puerto Rico stuff. There were 15 sponsors exemptions. That was a Monday Q tweet. And apparently no real title sponsor other than, you know, Puerto Rico, the tourism board. 15 is a lot, sponsor exemption. Brandon Grace wins. He finished eagle birdie to win. Amazing bunker shot on 18. And the big thing was he won. This was, I think, 5 weeks after his father had died from COVID. So it was really emotional. This was like the real notable thing. Good guy winner. Held off Grayson Murray, who like hard hooked one on 18. So he beats Grayson Murray. The Solicitor General had an early lead as well. Yes, that was a big story. Tommy Gainey was out there. And a big thing that someone tagged us in was apparently they were promoting this event as a launch pad for careers, which is quite ironic given the nature of the PR curse. If they were calling this as a launch pad, it's actually quite the opposite.
It launched Michael Bradley's career. What got him that second PR win?
So yeah, that was what the promo was on TV. And that's all I got, really. That's all I got. Grayson Murray held off, and really good story. Great Grace winning a second PGA Tour event. Brandon Grace is like, he's like 32 or 3. He feels like he should be like 40.
50.
That's right. So, all right. On to, am I up? Bay Hill.
Yeah, you're
my
up.
Turn. All right, API, Arnold Palmer Invitational, Bay Hill. Bryson Westy, the start of the two-week Bryson Westy
this
battle.
Is the pinnacle of Westy Island.
It's up there, yeah. This was, you were just, I think we did our Westy Island shirts this week, or maybe it was Players Week, they came out, as just completely fortuitous, like, right, that this all comes together as Westy has his moment in the sun. Non-actual API news, Johnny Manziel wants to play pro golf, says he's going to try to play pro golf, just catnip carnival galore when that happened. But I don't know that he's made much progress there. There was the Ocala event, the Golden Ocala event on the LPGA with their tribute holes, and drone footage. You know, we've had a lot of talk about the drone footage at Kapalua in part one. This was worse. I mean, you went on the Golden Ocala site. I think you've now offered your services for gratis when you're in the area next time.
I stayed overnight in Ocala on our way back from Florida, and the morning after was like a beautiful morning. Would have been perfect time.
You should have done it.
I should have just popped over there and done it, but I didn't.
But just the drone at Ocala, their website was a big topic. We had a lot of facts about Ocala that you know, good for horses. They have aviation villages where you can drive your plane around the, you know, down the cul-de-sac and out the runway. You go to Lupland. You yourself are in Lupland behind enemy lines, but you made it out alive.
I forgot.
You're just
about
asking
that.
About costs of the driveway. You're roaming around the big. Just the grotesquely large clubhouse, talking about, you know, just the pictures on the wall and everything. You said it was a historical, you know, interesting visit. But I envisioning you asking about people, did this driveway really cost $18 million in Lupland? But you made it back. This was also a big week. We are introduced to the term data lake, at least when it comes to the PGA Tour. This was an Adam Woodard article for Golf Week. New partnership with AWS. Fans will have live access to every shot from every player. Still waiting on that. The speed rounds and new camera angles, and a data lake with nearly 100 years of archival content. Now, when this first came out, it would sounded, you know, just great, right? Everybody's like, oh my God, this is perfect. We want this. But like, I don't know, the PGA Tour's release was much more tempered. Delayed, and now, like, I don't know, have you seen any of this? Have you heard anything about like the 100 years of archival content, the every shot? We never really got that, aside from maybe that's coming in a couple years, but it just seemed a little premature.
Maybe that's some of the coffers that they opened up for the players took away,
right? Well, that's what I'm saying. I think just, that, given the app couldn't work for all of the basically first half of this year, maybe that's what's happening. But yeah, data
well,
lake,
it's like then, the AWS stuff.
Everybody got their jokes off about the data lake. All right, what else?
Hey, you know, off topic, I got an email. I use Amazon to do PGA Tour Live since they shut off my free one.
Yeah.
And it's over. I got an email. I got an email from Amazon. It's like, this is over.
Well, I mean, PGA Tour Live's been passed around to every, I think it's ESPN Plus now, right?
It's just like that, it's over. I'm going to have to re-sign up. I'm going to have to sign up again.
I think it's ESPN Plus.
When are they even back on? It's saving me money because I'm not going to get charged for...
It's probably, they never, you know, they can't afford to go over to Hawaii. Yeah. So it might not be till, you know, Palm Springs. Faldo pops off on Ricky Fowler. So Brian Wacker had a tweet about Ricky Fowler's frustrated. He might miss the Masters first time in 2010. Sir Nick Faldo quote tweets, "Good news, if he misses the Masters, he can shoot another 6 commercials that week." Exclamation point. Sir Nick just taking it at the activation Ricky. Unbelievable. Totally unnecessary. But
I would have dropped in some, but allegedly it doesn't work.
The sound doesn't work. Fowler's asked about this. He goes, I don't really have to comment on it. I'll leave it up to him. He just sidesteps it at Bay Hill. And just a couple other, let's get to Bay Hill. Which you said, which I loved, it's great for screened-in porch watching. That was your term about Bay Hill. Several Bay Hill regulars corroborated this, did support this. Elsewhere that week, anticipated preferred lies are back. Another week for anticipated preferred lies. I think that was Saturday. It never really rained. It was just like windy. Never rained. One of my favorite things I totally forgot about. Dylan Fratelli sets up under the tribute umbrella and the old school bag that they leave for Arnold Palmer at the end of the range, that spot. You know, you're not supposed to go there. Fratelli just head in the clouds or up his ass and goes and like hits in this sort of honorific spot for that's set up for Arnold Palmer in perpetuity.
That was like when he got it back with the memorial when he was doing the right. Do the stuff with Jack Nicklaus on the right. telecast.
Right. So, like,
got a nose for that.
I don't know if some caddy or player, like this guy doesn't have all his marbles, and like took a picture of it, set up under the umbrella. Oh, and that open spot they keep for Arnold. What else? Oh, first day, Rory hits a 5-iron into every par 3. So we had fun with this. Hit the same club into every par 3. You're like, Rory's going to do well because you have to hit long irons. It's not necessarily a good thing because every
They're
par
all
3
the
is
same.
The same.
They are. They're all the same.
Walks off the course. He says they hit 5-iron into every par 3. It's a great day.
This is not a great course for variety.
But it's good if you got to hit long irons, right? I mean, which is a diminished challenge or a skill requirement.
Ideally, you'd like to see him hit all the clubs.
Ideally, yes. There was a another Patrick Reed incident. He's just, playing around in the grass excessively. Griffin Flesch tweeted it out, like, what are we moving here, bud? I think that's Steve Flesch's kid, I believe. And that went viral a little bit. I mean, just I'm watching it now, molesting the grass around his ball. And, of course, he doesn't have the sort of the cushion to do that. Billy Horschel gets heckled. Like, legit heckled. Just some shithead. This is really the stretch where fans are coming back, right? I don't know if Bay Hill, I want to say Honda. Bay Hill was the first, I think. Some of these Florida's Concession, I suppose, had some, where they really start to work their way back on scene. Somebody, Billy misses a putt, like on the low side. Guy just shouts, clear as day, "Bad read, Billy." And everybody can hear him, and Billy does not react to this. Shouts back at him, cocks back. He goes, "There's a reason why I'm on this side of the ropes and you're on that side." And that's another clip that goes viral. This is the start of really, you have your baton boy take. Like, and I kind of pushed back. I was like, it seems like he's always throwing his putter in the air. I was like, I don't know. What did you see him throw it in the air once and now this is your take? You think this is reality? And then he's on PGA Tour Live the next day and he's throwing his clubs in the air like every other hole, and like your take came to fruition, like you hit it on the nail. He's just, and that was the genesis of the baton boy. You hit it on the head, and then we couldn't get out from under it all season. Everybody sending us, you know, clips of him throwing his weekly throws in the air. So that was the start of the baton boy. Jason Day became a meme because he was binoculars. He was got his ball stuck up in a tree, and people were, you know, is he looking up in the sky for balloons, things like that. That became a thing. The Robert Gámez disaster. Do you remember Robert Gámez? Shot a 92, but didn't sign his card. We're talking about pamps, free pamps, can't get back in the field. You know, he shot something like 47 coming in, 92, and then it was DQ'd because he wouldn't sign for it. And this was, you know, the past champ thing. So we need to be on Gámez watch for 2022. Gámez. I don't know. He should be out there. 47, 45, 92. He's failed to break 79 in 10 of his last 11 API rounds, according to a Brently Romine tweet at the time. So this was a controversy. Sakumba photoshopped Billy Horschel as the town crier while ringing his bell and also throwing his putter in the air. So this was really the Billy Boy phenomenon. The town crier baton boy really took off this week. Saturday, Spieth got hot. I don't know if you remember this. He had a hole in one on two. It was like a huge deal. And Justin Rose WD, he made like 160 feet of putts. So he gets hot. But during this round, it's another, you know, day of Spieth mania. He had the ace. His ball is like embedded, or it could be embedded. And, you know, he makes a joke. The guy comes up. He's like, so you're saying I shouldn't touch it before I ask you to come over? And there was a PGA Tour announcer. He goes, this is similar to what we saw in San Diego with Patrick Reed, which was very much the opposite. Spieth was very careful not to just start whipping his ball up and out of the grass willy-nilly. We had an on-site report. He said the second one, a person said it bounced and it made it clear that it wasn't embedded. And so he operated with that assumption. So he smirked. Spieth smirks. He goes, so could anybody see if it bounced? Just like a shit-eating like callback to San Diego. And but the announcer sort of wanted to cover it up. What else? Oh, completely disrespectful to Mr. Palmer. Players feature groups announced in the middle of the final round for the Players' Championship.
They had the range cam going, too.
They did. I don't know if they had the range cam, but they were... A rival out camp? Featured groups. Yeah, they might have had a rival camp. The $19 million driveway camp. But they were announcing, pumping out featured groups, one of which was great Sunday. I'll just say it now. They pumped out Brooks Koepka in the featured group, and like 52 minutes later, he WD'd. So they went through all these hoops, made all the graphics, paired every, you know, these high-profile guys together. 52 minutes later, he WD'd. I think he was just like pissed they had, you know, done it without talking to him first. What else? Oh, one of the great nicknames. Of course, there's a whole Bryson section this week. But Sean Zock tweeted about how they were talking about Bryson looks thinner. He's not, you know, or no, this wasn't Chewrate. Chewrate is later. I'm sorry. This was another one. Sean Zock said he was with training with DeChambeau. And after 96 driver swings in a speed training, DeChambeau told Zock, I'm in Narnia right now. Like he's blacking out. I'm in Narnia. And to which Bunky Perkins called him B.S. Lewis, which I enjoyed. That's a good dad joke. Narnia, B.S. Lewis. That's a good tweet this week. On six on Saturday, you know, whatever. He drives it. He hits a 370. You know, he misses the green both times. People don't want to, you know, he gained like a stroke on the drive. It was a massive gain. He made birdie both days. You know, he plays with Westy, of course. Westy does like the mocking thing. He's 70 yards amazing, behind him.
Amazing.
Pretty good. So he hits it. He makes a birdie both times. You know, of course, we have the indelible image of him pumping his arms. He goes, quote, I felt like a kid again, for sure. It was exciting. When you pull it off, it was almost like winning a tournament, which is like where he's at nowadays. I got the same chills and feeling when I saw it clear, and there was no splash. I gave the fans what they wanted. He missed the green both times. Made birdie, easy birdie, gained strokes. We were shouting about how the EPA, who's polluting the lake just by, you know, ripping balls all Wednesday practice rounds. Yeah. Like, this is polluting. We need to look into this closer. What else do we have this week? A lot of Bryson stuff. So of course he wins and immediately does the sponsors thing again, which I sent a mocking tweet out about, you know, like OregonGolf.com, one stream. And then he actually does it. He just, like, it took 2 seconds. He goes straight into NASCAR. You tweeted about how he had a fan removed, which I recall early in the week. Some guy made a shitty comment. He goes, boom, you're out of here. And you said he was taking the JT approach to fan removal.
You know, it got even more strict later in the year.
Yeah, that's true. That was before the whole Brooksy stuff. He got obscene relief on Sunday from a sprinkler head. Roger Maltby, I don't know if you remember, was on there. Yes. Was like, that is not in his line. He's not going that way.
It was on
way.
Like 17 or
I guess like
15.
14. 14. 14. Yeah. I think it was 14. 14 or 15. I think it was 14. And then he gets the relief. Roger Maltby's like, it's not in his line. And like immediately goes like, you know, just putts nowhere near, you know, it wasn't. He clearly wasn't, but he got that. Oh, he also was caught saying these are the worst bunkers on tour because he, you know, couldn't get a perfectly clean lie. You know, there was apparently complaints. Daniel Rappaport, there was a ton of sand in the greenside bunkers. Guys were complaining about balls getting plugged. But yeah, I think it was 11. He goes, this is the worst bunker on tour right here.
I think Westy got a fried egg lie on Sunday.
I think you're right. You, following your Twitter, just like, it's like you are, I'll say you're deliberate about your tweets. You want to be able to look back at it 6 months from now and say there was like, you know, it could stand on its own. Looking back at your tweets this week, you're just like, oh my God. You know, it could be about anything. You know, it could be about another missed 4-footer. It was just a roller coaster of emotions watching you tweet through this round with Bryson. You're like, people are getting the full Westy experience today.
Oh, it's so
it's
bad.
It's not he how was... it breaks your heart. It's, you know, it's when and all this stuff. Your tweets were amazing. Just a roller coaster the whole day.
It was a gut-wrenching round because Bryson made some like crazy putts. I remember he made, yes. I think he made a yes. really long putt on 10 that yes. was like just like a backbreaker. And Westy just was doing what he does. He just like putters and billows along in a yeah. final round. He pars the course to death. It's not pretty. He hits some shots close, but he never makes the putts. And then he made like a really big putt on.
He made 18. He made a putt on 18. A birdie
he always
putt.
Makes
he was one down.
He always makes putts on 18. He didn't make birdie on 18. He had to.
I don't know if it was birdie. Maybe it was a par.
It was
save.
A par. It was a yeah. par save. He made he the made putt the next week at the Players on 18 to lock up. Solo second too.
Yeah he, yeah it's like a $700,000
points when it putts when it doesn't matter but then you know it just he just God.
I think he
this was
he
the like, one he should have won
he parred like 16 which is like a par four basically
yeah
you know, he made a five there
he three
I think.
Putted I think or yeah. no he made par and he had a perfect drive and he made par
yeah 15 was the one where like do you remember he couldn't hit the fairway?
He three putted like one of the holes on the back nine too.
The hard dog leg right 15. Nobody can hit the fairway. It just bounces through. Like nobody can hit the fairway. You tweeted the goat emoji about Westy, like because Justin Ray said he would be the first player to hold, he'd the first player to hold the 54 lead on the PGA Tour in the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, and 2020s. This of course was enough for you to fire off the goat emoji because you had the. 54 all lead four different decades. Your tweets are just fantastic. Westy Island just boom times, just a fantastic roller coaster ride. And you had honestly can't remember the last time Westy was interviewed at a non-major on American soil, which is a legit observation, right? I mean, when it's not a major PGA Tour FedEx Cup event, it was such a change in scenery having him be such a part of our lives on the Florida swing.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the spot for him where the ball striking becomes premium, you know? This yep. is his kind of place where he hit lots of long irons. He, God, this was the one he should have won. Like
yeah,
the players,
he
was gassed. This one, he should have won.
Bryson was a little sloppy. He just bombed in those putts, a few putts.
Yeah, he made like three putts that were right. kind of crazy putts. Like he made one early in the round and you're right. just like, God, like he did it three times and that was the difference.
Yeah, I mean, he was just a circus. Circus on six. You had Spieth, like, you remember pointing back. He's on seven. Like, everybody's watching it. And then he hit it into, like, the parking lot on nine. Remember, he, like, went over white stakes into this parking lot that was somehow, like, still inbounds. After he won, he said he went and drank chocolate milk, ate some Arnold Palmer gummies, and played pinball at his host house. Also worked on his putting, I think, on the putting green after he won, which is just weird, you know, totally Bryson thing. Azinger? Will Knights had this. Quote, club head speed. They have the numbers up. It's a graphic. Numbers up on the screen. Club head speed. That's a 29-mile-an-hour difference right there, and I'm not even that good at math. It was 19. Like, the numbers are up on the screen. He goes, that's 29 difference right there, and I'm not even that good at math. It was not 29. In fact, what else do we have? Just, like, the conditions were great. I mean, the wind was really up on Sunday. The scoring average on Sunday was 75.5. I think three players broke par, if I'm not mistaken. Paul Casey said it felt like a major. It's not fun. It's not easy, but it's probably providing great TV and great entertainment. And in all honesty, if I was at home, I would sit back and crack open a beer and watch it. So,
your guy,
pretty windy and firm.
The everyman, Paul Casey.
The everyman. Oh, and DeChambeau, Todd Lewis asked him. He goes, you know, Swin was inconsistent. He goes, I asked if you had your B game. He goes, I had my C game. So that's Bryson for you with the win at Bay Hill. I think this is only win of the year, right? Says mm-hmm. He has his C game.
You that, know, one thing you missed?
What?
Ricky, it was a rough week for Ricky because the first tee announcer called him Ricky Flower.
Flower. I did have that. I did see that in my research. Oh, and Westy? This is sort of like a start of a, you had some cognitive dissonance. You found yourself in some tough spots. He comes out anti-rollback. So you were trying to split the baby here and say he's not fiercely anti-rollback. Say you, his past quotes have said, you know, he's come out and said equipment, you know, makes the players exponentially better. I think his whole point was like golf's just in a good place. We shouldn't be changing anything right now, which put you in a little bit of a tight spot. I think people just wanted to give you shit. So that does it for API at Bay Hill. Another great, great tournament. And the genesis of the Baton Boy. All right, let's do it. We're going to cut it here. We'll come back with the gold standard.
20-part year in review coming.
How many
your
events
way.
Did we just do?
Three two? Events.
Holy shit.
One's right. An opposite field, so really two.
All right, we're going to do shorter episodes and more of them. All right, talk to you later.